It's time for Ruination Repeat, recapping last week's shows.
I'm not the only one who could use a little bit more of a big fatty.
Oh, dear Gussie, dear Gussie, dear sweet Gussie.
Welcome to this week's Ruination Repeat. I'm King.
And I'm Gail.
So, imagine for a second that you are tracking a $70 grocery saving down to the exact literal penny.
Right.
Like, while the sunlight is actively diminishing and the seasons are just physically changing outside your window.
It is a lot to manage.
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself, is that just a retired guy doing some extreme couponing? Or is it, like, a highly calibrated psychological survival tactic?
I'd argue it's definitely a survival tactic.
Exactly. So today, we're stepping inside the heavily guarded perimeter of the Frugal Fortress. We'll be summarizing the audio logs from the week of August 31st to the 4th of September 2026 in the Big Fatty Online universe.
But before we drop the drawbridge on all that, we have your mandatory network reminder to etch into your schedule right now.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely need to remember this. Big Brother is on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights on CBS.
You really need to internalize that schedule because it basically dictates the heartbeat of the entire ecosystem we are exploring today.
Totally. And as returning listeners well know, that ninth month is strictly and exclusively pronounced Septombro in this digital town.
Always.
And you are spot on about that survival tactic thing. We have this massive stack of daily dispatches spanning this specific week, and the whole narrative arc is basically a masterclass in navigating boundaries.
Yeah, because to survive the uncontrollable passage of time, I mean, you have to seize control over what you actually can manipulate.
Right.
And in this universe, that means taking total unyielding command of your grocery receipts and your household safety.
Yeah, and you see this rigid desire for control the very second the calendar flips to the 1st of September.
Oh, the rabbit protocol?
Exactly. The host dictates that a new month requires the mandatory saying of rabbit for good luck. Like the absolute second you wake up.
It's non-negotiable.
Right. And he even takes a poll in his local senior size class to see who actually followed protocol.
Which is so funny. And only 3 people in the entire class actually remembered to say it.
Just 3.
Yeah, and he reports this with this, like, palpable hint of dry disappointment.
Oh, totally.
The implication being that the rest of the class is now just stumbling out into the month of September, entirely stripped of their protective luck.
Just completely vulnerable.
Exactly. Purely because they lacked the discipline to say 2 words upon waking.
It's a way of locking in good fortune when the environment around you is shifting. Because he explicitly reminds you, the listener, that it is now meteorological fall in the northern hemisphere.
Right, the seasons are turning.
And how does he mark that celestial shift? I mean, not by ordering a pumpkin spice latte?
No, definitely not.
He executes a highly pragmatic physical safety audit of the Frugal Fortress.
He is battening down the hatches.
Yeah, he is actively hunting for trip hazards, adjusting his throw rugs, and physically testing the security of his bathtub grab bars.
Because a new season implies a loss of footing, you know? Winter is coming, the ground gets slippery, bodies get stiffer.
Yeah, you have to be prepared.
And that seasonal preparation directly fuels his economic strategy. He goes on this massive Labor Day haul at his preferred grocery sanctuary, Vaughn's East.
And we should note, he makes a very deliberate point to spell Labor Day without a U.
Right, asserting control even over the orthography of the holiday.
Let's actually look at the mechanics of this Vaughn's East run, because it is staggering.
It's a logistical masterpiece.
He doesn't just tell you he went shopping. He broadcasts the exact inventory of his acquisitions, leveraging buy one, get one free sale, the BOGO sales, with surgical precision.
The BOGO deals are crucial.
And the items are just so specific. He secures BOGO crackpot liners.
Okay, for anyone unfamiliar, crackpot liners are those disposable plastic bags you put inside a slow cooker so you don't have to scrape baked on food later.
They are brilliant.
They are a literal mechanism for saving physical labor. By buying them on a BOGO deal, he's discounting his future energy expenditure.
Exactly. And alongside the liners, we have Reese's peanut butter pretzels, Vanity Fair napkins, and lemon-scented Bona floor cleaner.
Setting the sensory state.
Right. And he is stocking up on bird's eye cobets.
The little frozen half cobs of corn.
Yeah, those. And a box of Dolly Parton double fudge brownie mix.
Essential.
He also procures fresh radishes for what he envisions as a deconstructed wedge salad.
I love that phrasing.
It's so good. And finally, frozen baby back ribs for the holiday weekend.
Every single item serves a distinct purpose, you know? The frozen ribs and cobettes are for long-term winter storage.
Right, bracing for the cold.
And the Dolly Parton brownie mix is just pure synthetic comfort. The Bona floor cleaner is about sensory control, imposing an artificial lemon scent over his controlled environment.
Yeah, and then he gets to the microphone and delivers the financial autopsy.
The best part.
He spent exactly $88 and saved exactly $70.53.
That exactitude is just incredible.
It really gets me. I mean, tracking that 53 cents feels like a psychological anchor for him.
It really is.
When the literal sunlight is diminishing daily and the global economy is a mess, balancing a receipt gives you undeniable mathematical proof that you are still the master of your own domain.
Exactly. And he demands that same mastery at Sam's Club later in the week.
Oh, the Sam's Club trip.
Yeah, because Sam's Club requires a minimum $100 spend just to justify the trip. It's basically an entry fee to bulk security.
Right. You can't just go in for one thing.
No. So he hits the threshold by purchasing essentials like eggs and this massive haul of 4 boxes of 100 individually wrapped Rice Krispie treats for future trick-or-treaters.
Clanny ad.
And while navigating the aisles, he discovers the gay crema decorations.
We should probably define that for you. Gay crema is the community's highly joyful, reclaimed terminology for Halloween.
It's such a great term.
It really turns a dark, spooky holiday into a celebration of camp and aesthetic excess.
And the gay crema display was positioned right across from the Thanksgiving cornucopias.
Ugh, a jarring reminder of the passing seasons.
Very jarring. So he selectively acquires a wreath made entirely of bones and dead leaves, featuring a skull with blinking red eyes.
He is curating his own spooky aesthetic on his own terms.
Exactly. And he monitors the macroeconomic environment just as closely as his domestic one.
Well, the gas prices.
Yes, he runs a gas price check, proudly reporting that he paid just $3.59 a gallon to fill up Earl Grey. His Ford Maverick.
I love that he named his truck Earl Grey.
It fits so well. And he actively contrasts his gas price with a listener named Miss Bacon, who apparently suffered at the pump.
What did she pay?
She paid a punishing $4.78 a gallon for her high-test premium fuel.
Wow, that is a huge difference.
It's his other daily victory against the entropy of the universe for him.
But, you know, there's a vulnerability to this whole fortress mentality.
How so?
Well, the moment you have your internal environment completely locked down, the outside world invariably finds a way to pierce the armor.
Oh, right.
And this week, that breach came in the form of municipal lighting.
The great street lamp saga of early September.
It was intense. So the street light outside the villa burns out. And he doesn't just sit in the dark and complain about it.
No, he takes immediate action.
Yeah, he utilizes a municipal app on his cellular downloading device to report the exact pole number to the city.
Which is very proactive. And the municipal crew actually miraculously responds and fixes the light within days.
But there's a massive catch.
A huge one. The crew replaces the lens on the lamp, but completely fails to paint the back of it black.
Oh no.
So the result is catastrophic for his carefully curated environment. Instead of a softly illuminated street, the villa is suddenly flooded with this incredibly bright, unfiltered glare.
It completely violates the curated darkness of the frugal fortress.
It really does.
And he physically alters his daily routine to adapt to this light pollution and also the lingering late summer heat.
Oh, the nipple walking.
Yes. He accomplishes his daily exercise, a practice he explicitly refers to as nipple walking, entirely indoors.
We should clarify the mechanics of nipple walking for you. It's his term for getting your steps in without working up a sweat that would show through your shirt.
It's very descriptive.
It is. So to ensure he avoids the heat and the glare of that unpainted municipal street lamp, he logs over 3 miles and a full hour of walking, just pacing aimlessly inside the closed walls of his house.
Wait, hold on. I'm struggling to square this.
What do you mean?
He is barricading himself inside to the point of counting indoor walking mileage just to avoid the heat. And he's obsessing over the unpainted lens of a street lamp.
Right.
But then he just casually opens his front door to a random construction worker in the middle of a Tuesday.
Yeah, it does seem contradictory.
Doesn't that completely shatter the fortress mentality?
You would think so, but the frugal fortress isn't actually about keeping everyone out.
Okay, what is it about then?
It's about creating a perfectly controlled stage. Like if you can control the air conditioning, the lemon-scented floors, and the exact inventory of your refrigerator, you create a sterile, safe environment.
Right, making it comfortable.
Exactly. And once the stage is set, you can invite the right kind of messy humanity in on your own terms.
That actually makes a lot of sense. We see that dropping of the drawbridge for very specific real-world intimacy.
We definitely do.
Like this week, we get the physical gathering of his inner circle, the event known as Friday at Fatty's.
And the menu for this gathering is purely about engineering comfort.
Oh, it sounded amazing.
They have breakfast for supper, basically breakfast for dinner.
The best kind of dinner.
He prepares scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage patties, sausage links, Kanaku sausage, grits, hash brown potatoes.
So much pork.
So much pork. And he finishes it off with warm blueberry pie topped with vanilla Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
It is a heavy, insulated meal.
Very insulated. And the guest list features his core physical community. You have the Nip, Granny, and Durwood.
But they also welcome a special guest, right?
Yes, a listener named Akris.
And Akris drops a massive piece of real-world disruption right at the dinner table.
He really does.
He reveals that he is officially relocating from the Dirty Myrtle down in South Carolina, moving up to North Kakalaki to be with his mother and sister.
It's a stark reminder that while the host is trying to freeze time inside the villa with bugo crack potliners, his friends' lives are shifting and changing uncontrollably.
Yeah, time marches on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the breakfast dinner party is downright quaint compared to the other invited intruders this week.
Oh, absolutely.
The frugal fortress temporarily transforms into the love chamber, despite all that rigid boundary setting we just talked about.
He welcomes two distinct gentleman callers into the sanctum this week.
Two of them?
Yes. First, a daytime visit from a construction worker who casually mentioned he took the day off.
Convenient.
Very. This visit involves something referred to as the special chaya, which is a euphemism for their intimacy.
Right.
And it notably left the host with a sore throat on the broadcast.
And then, later in the week, he is visited by his squeaky gentleman caller.
Yes, a man he has been in an off-and-on hookup relationship with for 30 to 40 years.
Which is wild. And he just hits a soundboard button to play a vintage board game theme song and effortlessly pivots from analyzing a Atlanta Braves baseball game to graphic details of the love chamber.
He controls the environment so he doesn't have to control the people.
That's a great way to put it.
Once the perimeter is secure, the drawbridge can come down. And that messy humanity isn't restricted to his living room or his bedroom either.
No, the boundaries of the frugal fortress extend globally. It relies on this vast, decentralized network of listeners.
The human network.
Yes. They act as his sensors, reporting back on the world that he is physically insulated from. Every single day, he is meticulously tracking their milestones.
He catalogs all the birthdays, strictly referred to as exiting the birth canal.
Naturally.
And the anniversaries, known as anniversariums.
So good.
This week, he validates JC Marvel and Mac in Flow Rider.
And he highlights Bjorn in California.
Yes, deliberately noting his prestigious past role as the Tahas State Fair fried food correspondent.
A very important title. Mm-hmm. He also tracks an anniversarium for Misery's Lan and Double A Ron.
Right.
Detailing that Lan was gifted an electric tea kettle right as they move into hot tea season.
Right.
It's such a domestic, grounded detail.
It really is. But the human network doesn't just report happy milestones, you know?
What else do they report?
They report the chaotic reality of their lives through the e-letter bag. Like, we hear from John in Vermont, who reports a disastrous trip to Lost Wages, which is Las Vegas.
The Lost Wages trick is a perfect example of chaos.
Complete chaos.
John reports that Barry Manilow actually canceled his show just an hour and a half before curtain time.
Devastating.
But John salvaged the ruined evening by flying first class and experiencing an enhanced viewing of The Wizard of Oz at the Spia.
And it apparently featured physical apple smells pumped directly into the theater.
Think about the sensory contrast there for a second.
Okay.
The host is controlling his environment with lemon-scented Bona floor cleaner in South Carolina, while his network is reporting back on artificial apple smells pumped into a Vegas theater.
That is a wild juxtaposition.
It really is. And right alongside John's Vegas dispatch, Miss Beva sends a smiling selfie from the literal Arctic Circle in Finland.
It makes me think of, like, an air traffic control tower.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Big Fatty is operating out of this quiet, tightly controlled living room, but he is holding the emotional flight paths of hundreds of people in his head.
He's watching the radar.
Exactly. He's got John's canceled Barry Manilow flight in Vegas pinging on one side and Miss Beva's Arctic Circle coordinates pinging on the other.
And by reading their exact coordinates out loud to the world every single day, He is validating their existence.
It really is.
But that radar also picks up profound grief.
Yeah, it does. The host takes dedicated time to acknowledge Veda, who is mourning the loss of Dolly Hortensia Levitria Poyton.
Which is so sad.
It is. And then at the very end of the week, he shares heartbreaking news with the entire community.
What happened?
Tessa, the beloved family rabbit of Moose P and Carl, suddenly passed away from kidney failure.
That is so tough. And when the decentralized network brings heavy news like the loss of a pet, or even when the Atlanta Braves get swept by the Giants and the Nationals, the walls of the fortress start to feel a little too thin.
You definitely need an escape.
A pressure valve is absolutely required.
And when the real world becomes too much to process, you turn to highly produced synthetic television drama.
Which brings us back to our mandatory network reminder for you.
Yes, pay attention.
Because you know the host would never let us forget. Big Brother is on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights on CBS.
The emotional investment in Big Brother is just staggering.
It is next level.
This week marks the show's 1,000th episode, and the host breaks down the specific reality TV mechanics with the intense precision of a sports analyst breaking down game tape.
He really does. He details the arrival of Zingbot, which is a literal robot designed by producers to ruthlessly roast the house guests.
I love Zingbot.
And Zingbot was specifically targeting someone he refers to as Chicken Boy Drew.
Poor Drew.
He also tracks the eviction of a house guest known as the Witch.
Right.
He analyzes the exact game mechanics of Yash winning the power of veto to save himself.
Which actively forced Devin to put up a replacement nominee on the chopping block.
But why Big Brother? I mean, he is also finishing a book on the 50-year history of Apple snacks, proudly noting he finally reached the highly anticipated Tim Apple era.
He loves his tech history.
He will literally mute a bad baseball game just so he can peacefully read about corporate tech history. So why invite the chaotic machinations of reality television into the serene fortress?
I think reality TV acts as a synthetic chaos simulator.
A chaos simulator.
Yeah. It provides him with the adrenaline of betrayal, the drama of a blindside, and the thrill of the fight, all without any actual risk to his own life.
Oh, that makes sense.
The chaos is happening inside a television set, far away from his freshly washed, clean bedsheets.
It's like a terrarium of conflict that he doesn't have to clean up.
Exactly. He gets the emotional high of the betrayal, but he can just hit the power button on the remote when it's over.
Right, low stakes.
It is the safest form of chaos imaginable. A perfect complement to a life organized around Bigo, crackpot liners, and municipal app reports.
He is also scouting the upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars.
Of course he is.
Yeah, he's analyzing a cast that features a Savannah Bananas baseball player, Guillermo from Late Night TV, and one of the Hanson brothers.
It's just another manufactured ecosystem he can observe safely from a distance.
He monitors these shows the exact same way he monitors his grocery savings.
Yes. It's all about categorizing information, predicting outcomes, and watching how people behave when the parameters are strictly enforced by producers.
So as you go about your own Septembre checklists, and as you balance your own grocery budget down to the final penny.
And as you look at the municipal street lamps outside your window tonight.
What is your own version of the frugal fortress?
What are the rigid routines you rely on to keep the unpredictable nature of the passing seasons at bay? And more importantly, once you have your perimeter secured and your floorboards smelling like synthetic lemons, who are the people you trust enough to let past your blinking red skull wreaths?
Something for you to chew on as the daylight gets a little bit shorter.
Truly.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Ruination Repeat. I'm King.
And I'm Gail.
We warmly invite you back for next Sunday's show as we continue to map out this beautifully messy universe.
See you then.
And before we let you go, one final absolute non-negotiable reminder to etch into your brain. Big Brother is on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights on CBS. Have a great week.
See you next Sunday here on Ruination Repeat.
Thank you for calling. How do you hang the damn thing up?